In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I would like to open my meditation on the Feast of St. John with some words from Dante's Divine Comedy. In this passage, the pilgrim is spending the night in a valley on the lower slopes of Mount Purgatory. When we pick up, it is still dark enough to see the stars, but morning has begun to break. Dreaming, I seemed to see hovering above a golden feathered eagle in the sky, with wings outspread and ready to swoop down. Dreaming, I saw him circle for a while, then terrible as lightning he struck down, swooping me up, up to the sphere of fire. And there it seemed the bird and I both burned. The heat of that imaginary blaze was so intense it woke me from my sleep. Dante the pilgrim then finds himself in another place. His guide tells him that a lady from heaven, Santa Lucia, Saint Lucy, came down to the valley where he slept and took him in her arms. She carried him, flew with him up the mountain to the gate of purgatory, the frontier of paradise. The eagle's strike was merely a dark and violent dream of the celestial transport the pilgrim had received. When we think of eagles in Scripture, we usually think of passages like Isaiah 40:31, which promises that those who hope in the Lord will soar on the wings of eagles. But a review of the books of the prophets, especially Jeremiah, shows that, as often, the eagle is a threatening figure of judgment, circling overhead, ready to strike. Like Dante, they ask us to imagine the terror of the small creature in the wasteland, cowering under a shadow from above, waiting for a dreadful, swift blow. In St. John's Apocalypse, he describes an eagle in the mid-heaven pronouncing three woes on all who live on the earth. Let us turn our thoughts now to St. John, whose emblematic eagle perches in our stained glass window on the north wall. Let us think of him in his last years, bedridden in a house in Ephesus. Let us remember that he is a survivor. In his body, he bears the marks of Roman torture. In his heart, he carries the lonely grief of seeing the entire first generation of Christians perish or vanish into distant lands. And with the certainty of prophetic vision, he knows that worse is yet to come for the church he gave his blood and tears to nurture. At this moment, perhaps we may also remember a younger John, caught in the dread of that fateful Passover. His master Jesus has been speaking ominously about going where the disciples cannot follow, about suffering and betrayal. And then there is the night of the arrest, the shocking trial, and gruesome execution. It comes as suddenly as the stoop of a raptor on its prey. We know what it feels like to live under the eagle's menacing gyres. Many of us are all too familiar with the sense that somewhere above us hangs a sword of Damocles. This feeling may be born of bitter experience, that just when things seem to be going well for us, they can go horribly wrong. It may be the sense of decay seeping into our bodies, or the perilous nearness of financial ruin. Or perhaps most profoundly, it can be a sense of guilt, that God knows what we have done in secret, that punishment of some kind is sure to come down on our heads. Such dread turns reality into a nightmare from which we cannot escape. Ultimately, we point these feelings at God, whom we come to regard as our prison keeper. We imagine his penetrating gaze and avoid it. We imagine him as the disapproving father who is continually eager to point out how unworthy we are of his attentions. So what happens when the eagle descends on us like lightning? When its talons seize our souls and the familiar earth drops away? When we are carried up like a helpless worm above the houses and trees of our ordinary lives? Will we, as Dante imagines, be consumed by the fires of the upper air? Will the stoop of God be too much for us to bear? That is perhaps what St. John imagined during the darkness of the early Passion, an impression confirmed, it would seem, in the bloody death of the cross. Here was a revelation of human ugliness, of the incompatibility of the world with divine peace, in the torn and pierced body of Jesus. The moment has come, the eagle has struck, and all that remains is wrath and agony. But the elder John of Ephesus is not like the fearful fisherman who was his younger self. He has a secret, a hidden wisdom that he carried out from his nest in Jesus' bosom. He saw it in Jesus' eyes on the day of resurrection. The Romans tried to torture it out of him, but they failed. He wrote it in our epistle reading today. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God is light. In the endless abysses of divine being, glory upon glory, he is eternal radiance without spot or shadow. To contemplate the absoluteness of divine innocence may indeed be a terrifying experience compared with our own inadequacies, the pettiness of our desires, the sinfulness and shame of our actions. But the fear that comes from knowing that God is unapproachable light is not like the resentful and self-consumed fear we more often experience. It is impossible to love a divine predator. But the fear of a God who is all light is a holy fear that yields at last to love's perfection. The knowledge that God is light, that behind the whole creation lies a supreme and unalloyed joy, shatters the nightmare. This is the great revelation of the Christmas season. When God visited us, what was he like? St. John tells us in his gospel, a humble teacher, a sacrificial lamb, the light of the world. Jesus makes God visible. And when the apostle stared into the mystery of divinity made manifest, he saw the love of the Trinity, the harmony of light that embraces all things, that shall be all in all. As we watch that gold-feathered eagle circle overhead, our stomachs may turn in anticipation. The advent of God comes as an interruption, cutting across ordinary life, ripping us from the habitual comforts and pleasures. If we are attached to these things, we will be fearful of that moment that we are plucked from them, whether that be in our dying breath or in the call of Jesus to a holier way of living. We may wonder if we will be able to bear it. But let us hear again St. John's secret. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. His flame is kindled here in the depths of December. As he takes us up, the clouds will dissolve, the nightmare will fade. In place of the eagle's clutch, we will find gentle arms bearing us into the heart of the beyond. O Lord Christ, who willeth all things for our good, comfort us by the witness of thy beloved servant and evangelist John, who found peace in thy bosom, who leaneth still on thine heart, and knoweth that thou art light, everlasting to everlasting. Amen.